Hey, I want to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be a guest on the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to apply. All right, so today is the long-awaited episode. Scott, I'm so excited and thrilled to announce that our book is finally out. It's finally live. For those of you who are tuning in for the first time and haven't caught maybe some of our previous work that we've done together, Scott Kochenour is a life and business coach over at Serving Strong Enterprises. And as I mentioned, a new author in our Mission Matters book release. So Scott, hey, first, just welcome back to the show. Excited to have you here today.
Adam, thank you so much for the opportunity, and it's a privilege to be here. It really is.
All right, Scott. So Scott, aka the fourth quarter coach, for those of you that follow him on LinkedIn, and we're going to talk about that because you put out some great content on LinkedIn, and we're going to get into that, of course, today. We'll talk about the book. We'll talk about what you're doing over at Serving Strong Enterprises, of course. But before that, we'll start this episode the way that we start them all. You already know the drill with our Mission Matters Minute. So that's Scott, right. We at Mission Matters, we amplify stories for entrepreneurs, executives, and experts. That's our mission. Scott, what mission matters to you?
Well, my mission is to change the narrative around aging, to provide the prospect of hope in a bright future. And I back it up with a mechanism of measurable action that leads to a life by design, not by default. So I firmly believe that our fourth quarter, the 60s, 70s, 80s, can and will be the most exciting stage of our entire lives because we're wise, we're cognizant of life, meaning, and purpose, and we have appreciation for the brevity of life. We tend to spend most of our moments doing things that really matter, and many of us are starting something new, a new adventure, but we're not starting over from scratch, but from experience. That's why I believe heavily in the fourth quarter. And I love spending time with people primarily in their third quarter to grow up and not grow old.
Yeah, it's great having you back on. And just because, again, I don't want to assume all our new listeners caught some of our previous episodes, maybe go into a little bit more about the story and really how you came up with the idea for the fourth quarter coach.
Oh, sure. I come from a number of years, almost three decades in a family business that we ended up having to close because of a cash flow issue stemming from the 2008 financial downturn. When we closed the business, I was a 50-year-old and I had no more career. The only career that I had was in the family business. Mm-hmm. And so I spent 2-3 years just in I was a CEO for 2.5 years to reinvent a company. And all of those wrapped up together, I determined to become the partner I wish I'd had in July of 2015, the month after we closed our business. Because I know with that outside guidance, I would have saved a lot of money and expense and a lot of time and stress. And so out of that birthed a number of ideas and actually a cycle that I now work with my clients on to take a very big picture and reverse engineer and then move forward.
Yeah. And let's definitely dive into that cycle and that process, but let's do it from the context of the book. Cause I know that you do put quite a bit in the book as well of the, let's just say the abbreviated version of your mm-hmm. process. So first off, the title of the chapter, Vision for a Great Fourth Quarter. Where do you want to start with this? Cause there's a lot to unpack.
Well, I'm telling you, the first thing is to get everything out of your head, to download everything and get it out so that you can look at it, because everything we face, whether it's a good thing, you know, a windfall, a major life disruption, whatever it is, has context. And if we can step back far enough, we begin to see options, which give us choice. And to me, options plus choice equals agency. So we first have to get it out of our brains. We have to get everything down so that we can look at it. And even the direction of get it down on paper, when you get something down, then you are above it. And there's no worse way of living than to be under it, right? Under circumstances, but to be on top, to be able to look at it. Yeah. And until we do that, then we're just fighting a losing battle.
So I'm guessing when somebody's going through this download period, like that can be pretty, that's got to be enlightening. Like, cause I don't feel like many of us do that often. So what are some of the things that maybe came to light when you were maybe going through your original download period?
Well, my original download was when I was reinventing our family business. You know, the board of directors elected me as CEO to reinvent our 40-year-old business. And I had no idea where to start. But I had a 3-foot by 5-foot whiteboard in my office. And so I just started writing. I just, you know, formulas, quotes, all kinds of things. And I would fill up that whiteboard, stand back and take a picture of it, and then wipe it off and fill it again, just constantly thinking. And I must have filled dozens of these whiteboards. But what I noticed happening was, first of all, I felt better. I may not have solved anything yet, but I felt better. Right? I felt like I was in control. But over time, download by download, I began to identify some trends and some reoccurring thoughts and patterns. Mm-hmm. And I was able to identify some of those. And that became the birth of a new way of doing business, which was actually starting to work in our business. So because of cash flow, closing the business, after a couple of years of lamenting and, you know, self-pity and all that sort of stuff, I began to say, wait a minute, there's something to this whiteboarding that I did. And if I could just learn to do that myself on a regular basis, when I feel stuck, when I feel overwhelmed, then I would be better off, because out of those downloads come ideas, thoughts, reoccurring themes. And so that's where it starts.
And just maybe to jump around a little here, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, do I remember seeing a picture on LinkedIn of you in someone's office with probably one of your clients, and you had a whiteboard that you were both writing on? Is that whiteboarding still part of the process? Am I remembering this right?
Yeah, there was a client where we actually worked with a business and had a number of staff in a conference room, and I remember they had no whiteboard. And so I thought, you know, it'd be good to get a whiteboard. And they were all kind of saying, why? But once we put it up, and it was a huge whiteboard. It was like 10 feet wide and 5 feet tall. They loved it, because when they get an idea, it's so much easier to explain it in drawing, or we made lists, and it facilitated progress. Yeah. And now a lot of what I do is virtual. And so what we will do is we'll do a whiteboard or a spider diagram. You know how you just kind of draw it out and just kind of get everything out and start to make connections, which actually begins to get into the second step of the process. And that's, you got a jumbled mess of thoughts and emotions all over the place for all the different topics. But then you start to make sense of it, and they fit into certain buckets that I've identified.
So now you have the you inspired me, by the way. I don't think I ever told you this. So I did hang up a whiteboard after our conversations. I do have a whiteboard now that I just, I doodle on, I put other things. I don't know if I'm doing the process right, but I do feel better when I do put stuff down there. I don't know why. And I did start taking pictures, by the way, like you mentioned. I haven't quite gone back and read everything and things like that I took the pictures of, but I do feel better. I don't know if that counts for anything.
it absolutely does. And that's the number one thing. You've got to have the right mindset in order to identify what's going on in your life. And a lot of people that I work with, they're either facing a disruption that has been externally imposed on them, or something has happened in the life of their family, you know, maybe an unexpected passing of a loved one, or, you know, whatever it is, there is this desire or this need to say, how do I make sense of what's going on so that I can move on with my life? And until you start feeling like you're in control, it really doesn't matter what you've put on the whiteboard initially. Mm-hmm. It's the therapeutic nature of doing that. Getting it out. And I like the idea, whether you're writing on a wall, you know, a whiteboard that's on a wall, or writing on a piece of paper or a remarkable tablet or electronic iPad, the idea that getting it down your arm and out your hand, there's something more significant than just verbally getting things out or typing.
All right. So now we've done presumably this download, which I definitely recommend everybody watching do the download. It's mm-hmm. worth it. Now where do we go from there?
Well, we got to make sense of what we downloaded, mm-hmm. right? So because that begins to turn the wheels forward. And I've identified in the last few years, I've identified what I call six hallmarks of an epic fourth quarter. So, when we think about a fourth quarter, 60s, 70s, 80s, we think, what's it going to look like? Mm-hmm. How can I come to any kind of aspirational design that I want to move toward? Well, in order to get the ball rolling, start looking at it from six perspectives. The first one is being spiritually grounded. So we talk about the spiritual nature of who we are and life meaning and purpose, living by values and beliefs. The second is being financially or physically fit. Mm-hmm. So taking care of your body. What does it mean to be physically fit in as your body ages? The third is being relationally rich. And that is having strong relationships with people who matter most to you, which ties into the fourth, and that is being emotionally healthy. So dealing with loneliness, dealing with depression, dealing with mindset and emotional intelligence. And then we go to vocationally aligned. So if I'm vocationally aligned, I have a better experience. And when I think of vocational, I don't mean what you do for a paycheck or a dividend. It's whatever you do that is important to you. It could be philanthropy. It could be pursuing a hobby. Whatever it is, that is your vocation. And a lot of times I work with clients who are shifting their vocation. They're either exiting their business or they're retiring from that current position they've held for 30, 40 years. They don't have any intention of retiring, but they're shifting to something. And that what they're doing is they're becoming vocationally aligned with who they are at that stage of life. The final one is being financially free. Mm-hmm. So when I download, I begin to put things in either a spiritual bucket, a physical bucket, and so on. That then allows me to see, okay, after you've done a few downloads and you keep adding to your physical bucket or your spiritual bucket or your financial bucket, you mm-hmm. begin to realize these are the things that are more important to me, most important to me. And so that gives you a bit of direction so that you can take the third step, which is let's design a path forward. Pick out something you have downloaded. And if it's meaningful to you, let's zero in on that particular area of your life and let's design a path forward. When I think of a path, I pull from Brian Moran's book, The 12-Week Year. We look at a 12-week year. That's essentially, it's a 90-day sprint.
Yeah.
And we determine what is the objective that we want to achieve after 12 weeks? And what are the actions that we will engage in for 12 weeks to reach that objective? And this is all drawn from one or more downloads that have been discerned. Mm-hmm. Right into six buckets, then we design a path forward. And again, that is adding more and more of a sense of agency because you're now taking action and you're at least designing that action. So we've downloaded, we've discerned, and we've designed.
And this 90-day sprint, when I think about that and kind of the, I guess, the packaging of that, it kind of makes sense. If you think about quarters mm-hmm. and the way that corporations run and other things like that, like, is there some significance to that timeline?
There very much is. We are, like you said, we are conditioned to quarterly thinking. Mm-hmm. And there's another element to the 12-week sprint or the 90-day sprint, and that is a weekly check-in. So mm-hmm. we are conditioned to think in terms of weeks. So rather than live by default, where you are living week after week after week, the same old thing, you're kind of like on a hamster wheel, just going over the same stuff. This time you are taking action, and every week that you check in, then you are gaining more and more attention to what you're trying to accomplish. And that constant attention over 12 weeks, there's something that goes on inside your non-conscious because you're training your brain to think a certain thing. I think of when my wife was pregnant, I noticed all the diaper commercials now. And I noticed the babies crying in restaurants. It's not because we got pregnant that all of a sudden babies came out to the restaurants.
Yeah. Right?
In these commercials. It was what happened within me. I became aware of the whole baby world. And I think the same thing happens when you are pursuing something by design over 12 weeks. Something magical happens within your brain, and you actually start to move faster, further, and go further because you start noticing things about what you're trying to accomplish, and it just propels you.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a big fan, and I know, and I've seen that in the coaching world, and there's different types of sprints. There's shorter sprints, there's longer sprints, but I like this 12-week concept. I want to circle back to something you said a moment or two ago, and specifically about retirement and how individuals are maybe, they may not be quitting their jobs, or maybe they're shifting careers or doing different things, but they're thinking about like really that next chapter in their life. I know we had some interactions on LinkedIn recently about some content we put out where it's kind of thinking about, you know, retirement and redefining retirement, what that looks like, if it's resonating with society like it once did. And for everybody watching this, I keep referring back to LinkedIn because me and Scott are always conversing and there. I highly recommend following Scott on LinkedIn because he puts out some great, really thoughtful content. So Premier, I meant to compliment you on that, by the way, Scott. And I mean that. Cool. You keep it up because I definitely enjoy the content. I'm sure others do as well. But circling back to that question I asked you on LinkedIn about your thoughts really on kind of retirement and what that next phase looks like. You're working with people entering their third and fourth quarter all the time. Like, from your view, what do you see there?
Well, I constantly hear, I have no intention of retiring.
Yeah.
That's just the common theme among everybody whenever the concept of retirement comes up. And what I've determined is those of us in the Gen X generation and younger, we are pretty much done with the concept of retirement.
Yeah,
that it's run its course. It had its heyday in most cases, and I'm speaking in generalities. That's not always the case for everybody. But if you work in a factory for 30 years and you do the same thing, why wouldn't you retire? I mean, how boring that would be, you know? You're doing the same thing over and over again, and yet we live on the shoulders of those people. They worked hard, and I don't mean to diminish the work that they did. It was a different type of work. You know, you go to the factory, you sit at the same spot and you do the same repetitive action for 30 years. You look for that pension and you pull that pension, and it became a threshold, a rite of passage. You were now retired.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, many of those had no idea what they were going to do after they retired. And there's been a statistic that many people died within 2-3 years of retirement because they had no purpose. That's different now. We're in a service industry. A lot of people have done a lot of good work in a different kind of age, and retirement has kind of carried over when it's a label to a fund. And that's really where it ends. And that's why I love the concept of vocational alignment, because we go through seasons and stages of life. Seasons come and go. I break my arm, I got to adjust. The arm heals, I'm back to normal. But stages, like I ran a marathon in my mid-30s. I would not be able to do the same kind of training and run another marathon as a 58-year-old that I did when I was a 30. That's a different stage of life. And we go through these changes. And to do the same thing at a different stage, sometimes that creates friction. And sometimes we just sense there's a need to move, there's a need to shift or pivot or whatever you use. I mean, I've even heard rewirement instead of retirement, but it's a vocational alignment to where you're at now. And ironically, a lot of us have no intention of retiring. We just don't know what we're going to do, which is what I do with clients. I create clarity. Okay. What are your ingredients? You've got 50 some years of experience. Successes, failures, skills, proficiencies. Let's work on the recipe to determine what it is you do next after giving your life to 2 or 3 corporations.
Yeah. And it sounds to me like, and like this is, there's a lot of hope in this process of vocational alignment. And what I've seen just from my vantage point is people, you know, aren't necessarily retiring. And regardless of if they have to work, you know, obviously for the day to day to cover mm-hmm. expenses, or maybe their retirement's not all set, but even people that are, you know, let's just say financially secure, I've seen that even they don't want to retire because they're thinking about, no, I still have so much more to offer, so much more I want to do. There's just a different, I feel, you know, passion for life because we have more options than we once did. Am I kind of off on that or?
No, you're right on. And that's the beautiful thing about what I love about what I get to do. Hmm. When we start to reach closer and closer to the magical age of 60,
yeah,
mileage varies. Some people reach this sooner, some later, but there's this, it's an incredible mindset to give back, to invest in others somehow. And that seems to be a reoccurring theme. It's like, I have more to give, you know, what I've also seen are people who are so afraid of aging and decline that they start to give up way, way too soon, like 30 years too soon. And they begin to complain about everything that's going on in the world. And there's no hope. So mindset is huge. Fortunately, there are a lot of people as you begin to come toward that, the realization that you've got more boxes checked behind you than you have in front of you, something begins to happen as it relates to meaning and purpose. And man, that is a spark that you can really fan into flame.
Fantastic. Well, Scott, I do want to spend some time here today. And for everybody watching, just to let you know, we'll have a link to the book. So there's more in the book. There's definitely more content, but I do want to spend some time talking a little bit more about your business and also to get some updates. It's been a little bit since we've talked. So last I remember, you were building a community. You're bringing people together. There was an online platform in the works and the Serve Strong Enterprises. What's going on today? Give me some updates. I need them.
Well, sure. Got probably too many irons in the fire for my age. But yeah, I'm working with another outfit. We are partnering together to create an online platform for 40 and 50 year olds. So we plan to roll that out in the fall of this year, fall of 2023. And it'll be a place for people to gather and to do life together and learn together. Content will be related to the six hallmarks. We will have subject matter experts available. And we're really excited about that. In addition to that, I have, of course, I'm doing private coaching and group coaching as well, mastermind coaching, doing the podcast, as you know, which I'm having a ball doing. I've been able to interview some of the most amazing people. And I've just recently added a tool in the toolkit to help business owners whose vocational alignment will require exit from their business and creating greater value in their business so that when they go to sell, they will get a greater multiple of their business. And so I'm excited about that. That's just one of the greatest additions that I have been able to add. I've been following this organization for about 2 years and finally pulled the trigger on that. And and I'm also writing a book outside of this one. I'm writing a book that is a little more in-depth as to my story. I go into a little bit more of the gory details and that sort of thing. But yeah, a lot going on.
Oh man, I can't wait to read this next book because every time we talk, I unpack just a little bit more. So I'm ready for the book as well. Like this is great, and I'm happy to hear about this, and I can't wait to see it. You did mention the podcast. We got a lot of new listeners here, so I want to make sure we get a plug in for that because I want people to definitely go check it out. So tell us a little bit more about the show.
Well, the show generally follows the six hallmarks. I will have a guest talking about physical fitness. There'll be a guest on financial freedom and that sort of thing, or the whole idea of the process of coming into yourself in the fourth quarter. And, you know, some of it's technique, a lot of it's stories of people who've actually made shifts in their life and the amazing stuff that goes through your mind as you're either responding to a major life disruption or you're just intentionally stepping out. Mm-hmm. You know, a recent podcast that is coming live this week as we record this live session is about a person who just voluntarily left the corporate world. Mm-hmm. And we talk about how did she know when it was time, right?
Yeah.
And what's it like to actually pull the trigger on leaving something that is stable? And so I like to enlighten the audience with what is really going on in mm-hmm. other people's lives so that they can bounce that against their particular situation and say, I haven't really thought of that before. Mm. And of course, I just love stories.
What's been one of your favorite things about hosting a podcast or hosting a show, like for you?
You know, for an introvert who loves systems and processes, it's unusual. But what I love is when I get into a conversation with somebody with the set questions that we have set up together and having it take on a life of its own. And we dig deep into something that we hadn't anticipated. Mm-hmm. That is the most exciting thing about doing the podcast.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's that connection. It's like every time I think about doing a show or something, like you're creating something with somebody, a piece of content that didn't exist in the past that somebody's going to be able to hopefully benefit from and hopefully learn from, and really just like learning from the stories of others. That's my favorite way to learn. So by right. hosting this show, I learn quite a bit. And then from listening to other podcasts like yours and others, I also learn a lot as well. So I'm big, obviously, right. everybody that listens to this show for a long time, they know I'm a huge fan of podcasting and I'll talk about it anytime somebody will let me.
Yep, that's right. That's right.
Awesome. Well, I want to, how do people, there'll be people watching this and listening to this and we talk kind of high level, but how do people like engage and how do they work with you and your team overall?
Well, the best thing to do is to go to servingstrong.com mm-hmm. and in particular /about servingstrong.com/about. That tells my story. That kind of gives you the background as to why I do what I do and the spark that caused me to do that. You can email me at coach@servingstrong.com. I look at all my email, but there's an interesting, I started doing a thing called office hours. And mm-hmm. if you can get there, servingstrong.com/office. On that page is a calendar and I will set these times when I'm already working anyway. Mm-hmm. I just pull up a Zoom and you can go to that servingstrong.com/office and mm-hmm. see when I'm holding office hours. And if it's the time, then you can click to enter. And if you enter, I'll stop what I'm doing and we'll have a conversation. It's just wow. free and free flowing. It's like I have an office and the door's open and whoever just pops their head in, we just kind of have a chat. So I started doing that.
Oh, that's a great idea. We might have to do some Mission Matters office hours, see what happens. Mm-hmm. And so people just pop in, they can connect with you. And it's just a great service.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's no pressure. There's no sales going on. We just talk about life, talk about what they might be going through or whatever.
Wow. Well, Scott, first off, it's been great having you back on the show. We're just getting started. I'm thrilled to promote this new book with you and, of course, to promote your show and all the work you're doing really over there and all the content you're putting out on LinkedIn. So just one more time, if people want to follow up and connect, the website again, please.
It's servingstrong.com. Yep. And you'll find me on LinkedIn. If you know, I spend a lot of time, like you said, that's kind of where I live.
Yeah. Fantastic. And we'll put links, by the way, to that. And of course, the book and everything else in the show notes for the audience. And speaking of the audience, if this is your first time engaging with or listening to a Mission Matters episode, we're all about bringing on business owners, entrepreneurs, and executives and having them share their mission, the reason behind their mission, really what gets them fired up to go out there and to make a difference in the world. If that's the type of content that sounds interesting or fun or exciting to you, we welcome you. Hit that subscribe button because we have many more mission-based individuals coming up on the line and we don't want you to miss a thing. And Scott, really, it has been a pleasure. Until the next time, looking forward to our next conversation.
Thank you, Adam. I appreciate it.